Okay, it is Monday, February 2nd, 2026. If you've been watching the markets, you've seen the narrative on energy just snap.
It really has.
For decades, fusion was a physics project, always, 30 years away. But look at the capital flowing in now.
It's a total hockey stick moment. It's not a lab curiosity anymore. We're talking about a hard-hat industrial engineering race.
Right.
Over $10 billion in private capital has flooded in. So the question isn't if the physics works, it's who gets a net energy machine on the grid first.
And that's our mission for this deep dive. We're going to unpack who's winning this race for the holy grail of energy.
And you've got these agile startups going up against state giants, the whole thing being accelerated by AI,
Right.
and then this supply chain cliff nobody's talking about.
Let's start with the players, because you have these two totally different tracks. On one side, there's ITER in France.
The huge international project. It's scientifically critical, I mean, absolutely vital, but it's so slow.
They're not looking at full fusion until 2039, right?
Right, 2039. And in the tech world, that's just an eternity.
And that vacuum is exactly why private money rushed in. You've got Commonwealth Fusion Systems, CFS, pushing their spark machine.
They're betting the farm on high-temperature superconducting magnets.
The REBCO magnet.
Exactly, rare earth barium copper oxide. That's the key. Stronger magnets mean you can contain the plasma in a much, much smaller space.
So you go from needing a reactor the size of a small building to something you can, build in a factory.
And that shift in unit economics is why they think they can hit net energy Q greater than one very soon.
Then you have Helion Energy. They're sort of the speed leader in all this.
They are pulsing their Polaris machine every single day. And this is where the money trail gets really interesting.
It's the AI energy nexus.
It is. I mean, think about it. Data centers are the new oil refineries. Google, Microsoft, they are staring down a massive power shortage for all that compute.
Which explains why Microsoft just signed that huge power purchase agreement with Helion. They're literally pre-ordering the power.
They need baseload power that isn't dependent on the weather.
So, okay, let's talk hardware. CFS is using the tokamak, the classic donut.
Yep. But Helion is doing something. It almost sounds like science fiction. Direct energy recapture.
So they skip the whole 19th century boil water, spin a turbine thing.
They skip it entirely. It's like a magnetic piston. As the plasma expands, it pushes against the magnetic field, and that creates a current directly.
Yeah.
It's just elegant.
While all this private innovation is happening in the West, China's playing a different game.
A completely different game. They're using state capitalism. Their best project is aiming for fusion electricity on the grid by 2030.
And they can just bypass all the regulatory hurdles that slow everyone else down.
It's a brute force approach, but whether you're a startup or a state, you run into the same problem.
The wall.
Literally, the first wall problem. It's a material science nightmare.
This is the helium embrittlement, right? The neutrons just wreck the reactor vessel.
They just smash into it. The metal swells up and cracks from the inside out. It's a huge engineering challenge.
I've heard they're looking at new alloys, adding things like iron silicate to create what, like molecular sinks to trap the helium?
That's the idea. But let's pivot to the fuel because this is what I find genuinely shocking. We need tritium.
And there's almost none of it.
Get this. The entire global commercial inventory is about 25 kilograms.
25 kilograms for the whole planet. Wow.
That's it. So the plan is to breed more tritium inside the reactor using lithium-6.
Okay, but here's the geopolitical problem.
The snag.
The enrichment for lithium-6 is almost entirely controlled by Russia and China.
So we're just trading a dependency on Middle Eastern oil for a dependency on Russian and Chinese lithium. It's a lateral move.
Which brings us to the wildest part of this whole story. Helion's design uses deuterium and helium-3.
Right, to avoid most of that neutron damage.
Yeah.
But helium-3 is, well, it's basically not on Earth.
But it is on the moon.
It's abundant on the moon. And it sounds crazy, but these companies are seriously modeling the economics of lunar mining.
So that's really the takeaway here. This stopped being just about clean power. It's now about energy sovereignty, about national security.
Absolutely. 2026, 2027, these are the years for proving the physics. But the next decade is going to be a brutal fight for the raw materials.
We're running straight at a raw material cliff, and the winner isn't just the one with the best tech.
It's the one with the best supply chain.
Which leaves us with a pretty provocative thought for you to chew on. If the ultimate fuel for infinite energy is sitting right there on the lunar surface, does the race for the holy grail of energy just inevitably become a new race for the moon?